hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We got a very special show for you today. But before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's serving of diving news and information, I got Roz on the line from the UK. She is fresh from inner space in the Cayman Islands, literally on the heels of the Rebreather 3 form. However, she is with us today on Scuba Radio. Roz, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Greg. Thanks very much.
So you're back home, finally, after a whirlwind tour of coming to Orlando to talk about rebreathers, and then you went straight to the Cayman Islands for inner space right after that, right?
That's right. And a bunch of people who went to Rebreather Form 3 also flew down and went to inner space as well. But it's hardly surprising because inner space is premier global event for rebreather divers. So.
Well, it sounded like an awesome time. I heard a few people talking about it there at the Rebreather 3 forum while they were in Orlando, talking about rebreather diving and then saying, yeah, it's all fun to talk about it here for a few days. But next week we get to go actually and dive and do the rebreathers. Did you do some diving yourself and actually get wet for a change or what?
Yes, I did actually, and it was surprising. I was impressed about how good the quality of the diving was. And the setup at Dive Tech out at Cobalt Coast was beautiful. Just really easy logistics. They're very good because they label up all the benches. So you have a home for a week, and you just put your cylinders in for filling. They come straight back again. You can get what sorb you need straight away, all the consumables you need. So the support that the staff put in is impressive. And then they have a range of boats. So you can have a recreational boat. You can have an all-moxic trimix. You can have an expedition trimix. So you can go and do your own thing. Or you can go off the dock and go and play, which is very good. We pulled, you know, sort of 120-odd minutes just going for a swim off the pier because there was so much. We had an amazing... Have you seen squid underwater, Greg, yet?
Have I seen squid underwater?
Yes.
I have seen squid several times, and I have not been on... let me think. When I was in Grenada and we did the rebreather thing, I'm trying to think if we saw squid on any of those dives. We might have. I don't remember offhand, but...
Did you have one or two, or did you have a big school of?
I've seen a few different... I've had a few different encounters. I've had, I don't know, up to maybe 20 or 30 I've seen. They're awesome, whether they're just a couple or a few in a group. But what, did you have a ton right off the coast there in the Caymans off of Dive
yeah,
Tech, or
did.
What?
I jumped in off the pier and swam out for a few minutes and bumped into a group down there. One of the girls turned around to me and went, hey, look. And I went, yeah, I'm fine. And we went, no, look over there. And I looked, and then I saw one squid, and then I saw two, and then I saw five. And then I realized that we were surrounded by a school of squid that were hunting. And we just sat there for 20 minutes and watched these squid. It was just very impressive. And, of course, all of us were on rebreathers, so these squid just hung around us.
They were just like scoping you out. You know, they seem very intelligent, squid do, but I have no idea where the hell they'd put a brain because you see right through them. You wouldn't think they got much to think with, but they seem fairly intelligent to me as far as underwater critters. Are you with me on this, or is that just me?
I kind of see where you're going with it.
I mean, they seem to, you watch them, and they do seem to be very aware of where you are. They're kind of eyeing you down. Maybe it's that eye. Maybe that eye gives them that element of intelligence. Or maybe it's just me being kind of unintelligent, and it makes other things more intelligent. Maybe it's
that. the one animal that I've seen in the water with huge intelligence is mantas.
Really?
And you really can see the brain behind the eye working. Yeah, I had an experience out in Maldives a few years ago when I was diving out there, and this very young, curious female kind of hovered over my head. And at that time, I was on a scuba set, so I had to be very careful how I breathed because my bubbles were tickler and spooker.
It would spook her,
but
huh?
You could, yeah. Yeah, but she stared into my eyes and I stared into hers, and you could see the brain and the intelligence and her thinking. That experience was phenomenal.
Interesting. I've never really made that connection with a manta. Even, I mean, I agree. They definitely interact with divers and snorkelers quite inquisitively, maybe, I guess is the word. But that'd be an interesting Jeopardy episode. Squid and mantas, which one's smarter? I mean, we know the dolphins are the smartest, right? We can just give them credit. But mantas, squid, I mean, you know, that's an interesting little... I don't know. Maybe that's a science project or some kind of research somebody could do, you think?
I think I would champion a manta over a squid any day.
Yeah, well, mantas, yeah, they're huge. They're massive and much more fun to watch, I would agree. But I don't know. The squid are cool, though. And to see them, you know, as a matter of fact, where I've had my encounters are usually in shallow water right there by a dock or something like that. And that's kind of what you experienced there at Dive Tech in the Caymans?
Yeah, it was. And the sunlight coming through the water,
right,
just hitting their bodies. And the disco lights, you know, the different plethora of lights that you got off their bodies was just beautiful to watch.
Yeah, so transparent and just, yeah, I don't know, kind of spacey looking. They're kind of creepy,
absolutely,
in some ways, but just very, very cool. All right, so you did that, and where you were diving rebreathers or what?
I was diving a mix, but I ended up having the opportunity of diving an evolution. And it was thanks to... Am I allowed to name names?
Of course you are. We're all about
right.
that.
Eric Kebler of Oceanic Ventures in Houston very, very kindly lent me a unit for the week.
Yeah.
And David Schneider carried it down for me. So thank you both, gentlemen. I had a wow of a time. And Mike Fowler at Silent Diving looked after me, and it was just awesome being able to get back onto a unit again and dive.
Yeah. Now, at Interspace there at Dive Tech with Nancy and Jay, they were servicing the rebreather divers for the week. How many rebreather divers did you have? And is that a little chaotic having so many people with that type of equipment to deal with?
I think there were 65, and no, it wasn't, simply because Jay and Nancy run a slick ship and they have some very, very good staff. I mean, their senior instructor, Steve Tippett, did an awesome job sorting out the logistics beforehand and getting everything done. And it was just perfect. It was very regimented, hyper-organized, so everybody was sorted the whole time. But if you haven't got good staff and you haven't got good organization, it can quickly go into a rat's nest.
Yeah.
But honestly, Dive Tech made it all so simple, so easy, so beautiful. They made it look like easy logistics, and I know it isn't.
Well, they've been doing it for a while now, so I know Nancy has her stuff together in that regard for sure. So, you know, next year maybe I'll have to go out there and do Interspace.
It's their 10th anniversary, Greg.
This was
something really special next year.
Oh, next year will be the 10th.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds like a special enough occasion for me,
and
sure.
People are already booking in for next year, so spaces are filling up fast. So if you're going to come down,
I got to get on the ball.
Ring Nancy now.
All right. Well, there you go. I'll have to make that happen. All right. So the Rebreather 3 Forum, they had a lot of events or discussions about the future of where this technology is taking the dive industry. What has happened since the event a couple weeks ago, Roz?
Right. Well, we had a final session, which ran for about 2 hours, and this was chaired by Simon Mitchell, who is an anesthesiologist from New Zealand. And the idea was to reach conclusions and consensus. And the forum reached conclusions and consensus on, I think, 16 points. These included things like endorsement of use of checklists, mm-hmm. Things like unanimously agreeing the currency requirements of instructor trainers and instructors, that rebreather divers should have basic information to help preserve critical information in the event of an accident, you know, things like that. So there was a number of issues that they addressed. The plan now is that all the speakers are going to get a copy, because everything was recorded,
yeah,
and we had a court reporter in place. The plan is now that everything is going to be transcribed, and the speakers are going to get a copy of their talk back in transcription paperwork, which they will then review, and if they want to add to it, they can. And then it all goes into the editors at the end of August, September, and we're hoping to have a 2012 publication date, probably around Christmas time.
Very good.
So this will be a full transcription of everything, plus the consensus of the 16 points that the forum agreed to help improve rebreather safety.
Well, it was a community that was nice to witness how they all seemed to come together and actually come to some agreement and some consensus among the different manufacturers and groups. It was an impressive, just a warm kumbaya type of moment there at the Rebreather Free Forum. More of us divers need to follow that example, I think, from what we've been covering the last couple of weeks. All right. Well, thank you, Roz. We will talk again soon. Thank you so much for being on Scuba Radio, and you have a great day, okay?
Look after yourself, Greg, and I'll speak to you soon.
More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
You came all the way down here for this.
And scuba diving.
Scuba diving? Who's going scuba diving?
We're going scuba diving. We'll be back in time.
What do you have to go scuba diving for?
For fun.
For fun?
And I'm a scuba-holic. I spend all my time beneath the waves. No more gin and tonic. Scuba diving is all that I crave. I don't need a 12-step program. Meetings I never attend. All I need is blue water. I catch a buzz each time I dive in.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. The show must go on. That's the only thing I can think of right now. I literally, during the commercial break, I've received some news that it makes it so difficult sometimes to do this show. We have so much fun. We're sharing our love for diving. And we get to interact with all these great folks that have that same passion for the sport that we love. And then we lose one. Our friend, Single Scott, he literally was on the show last Saturday talking about his dive trip in the Cayman Islands and Cayman Brac. I literally just got some news that Single Scott has died in a motorcycle accident, and it sucks. I don't know how else to say it. I know Scott's looking down right now, and he wants us to continue doing the show that he loves so much. He had a hell of a lot of passion for diving. He loved scuba radio, probably one of our biggest super fans that we have ever had for this goofy little show we do every week. And he loved being on the radio and talking about diving and going on some of these trips that we've done. He was a great friend. An amazing diver, just had a zest for life. He flew planes. He rode motorcycles. He was a great diver. He did it all. So just know that as I do the rest of the show today, my thoughts and prayers are with his family and friends. One of those I would include is myself. And we have to do the show. The show must go on. But don't think for one second that this tragedy is not weighing heavy on a lot of us today, as we, especially myself. It's going to be a tough one. But I'm going to, you know, put that aside and continue on, as I know he would want me to. And but he is missed, and he was a great guy and a good friend. And I think what we'll do next Saturday, give him a proper send-off. I mean, this literally has just happened. I didn't know about this before I started the show today. Otherwise, we may not have been doing a show today. So with that said, let's continue on. Next week, we will celebrate the life of Single Scott. There's already been talk about this on Facebook if you want more information on Scott's passing. But we will continue on. The show will go on today. And next week, we will do a special show in his memory. As I think he, you know, he loved being on the air so much. He really did. He had a big, big heart. He really did. He was an amazing guy. And he would go and he'd talk up scuba radio to people I had never met before. And I'd come and be, oh, yeah, there's this guy. He was raving about you guys and how great scuba. I mean, I couldn't have paid this guy enough. No way. And trust me, I never paid him, other than took him on a dive trip or two. But he was full of life for sure. So he is going to be missed. But we'll reflect on some of those adventures next week in a very positive light. Because when I do think about some of the stuff that we've done together, some of the trips that you've heard about on scuba radio before broadcast, you know, Scott was along. We met Scott on the liveaboard trip on a scuba radio scuba cruise in St. Kitts. And, yeah, you know, it was the craziest thing because when I got on the liveaboard boat, there was this guy who was on the boat that I thought he was part of the crew. Now, it ended up that he had been on the trip for 2 weeks prior. He was doing like a 3 week run or 4 week run on the, Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip from St. Kitts to St. Martin. We had boarded in, St. Martin, I believe. One of the others, but we had boarded the boat and I thought he was a member of the crew. So I, you know, when they introduced everybody, at the beginning of the liveaboard, he wasn't there, but I didn't really think anything about it because he was so settled in while everybody was getting their gear, you know, unpacked and put up on the dive deck. He was all settled in, kicking back you know, just hanging out with the crew and stuff. Everyone thought he was a crew member. Because he was so settled in. Finally, I started talking to him a little bit, and he found out about the radio show. And he explained to me that he was on this dive trip. This was the first one he'd went on by himself as a single because he had recently gotten divorced, and he had loved diving. And he was kind of, you know, this was his first venture out into the world, but he wanted to find a mate. He wanted to find someone to share his love of diving with and go travel around the world. He'd done pretty well for himself and go out there and do some more of this. And he figured, well, what the heck? I'm just going to go do this itinerary that I've done before with Explorer Ventures, and maybe I'll meet some people and just hang out and enjoy myself. Basically, it was kind of his, you know, first venture out into the world as a single guy again, right? But don't get me wrong, he wasn't on the prowl. He was literally out there looking for a mate. He wanted to get remarried. He wanted to find some person to share his love of diving with once again and go travel the world and do just that. So we start talking, and when he finds out more and more about scuba radio, he had heard we were going to come on board. He had heard a little bit about it, but he didn't know that much about it. I said, well, how are you doing this? And he goes, well, I haven't really went there yet. I'm just trying to get out there and find out what to do. I said, well, I'll tell you what, come on the radio show that we're going to broadcast from the deck of the boat, and let's see if we can't find you a mate. We'll put it out there that, hey, there's this guy on the liveaboard boat that's just looking for someone to go dive around the world. Are there any takers out there, ladies? Are you listening? And hence, Single Scott was born. So we called him Single Scott on the radio, and he did all kinds of crazy things as far as launching his own website in that regard. You know, he put out a challenge that if you find him a mate, find him someone he'll marry, he'll give you $10,000, $1,000 a year for up to 10 years of his marriage if it lasts 10 years. He was quite enthusiastic about, making that effort to find someone to go share his passion for diving and travel the world. And I got to respect the hell out of him. As crazy as it was and nutty, and we had a lot of fun with it on the air, I got to give him credit for putting himself out there and having that zest for life to just go for it. And that's what Scott did in all aspects of his life. We will reflect on them next week. He is missed, but we will continue on. The show must go on. And that's what will happen next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master. The show must go on, and it is. Now, a couple program notes. Now, last week we announced our new Facebook promotion where you could join us on one of these liveaboard trips I was just reflecting on with Single Scott. We are doing our next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise in the Turks and Caicos with Explorer Ventures and Divers Alert Network October 6th through the 13th. You can join us by purchasing a spot. There's a few spots available. You can do that by calling 1-800-322-3577 or go to exploreventures.com. However, right now we are doing a Facebook promotion where you could win one free spot on that Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. Now, it's all you have to do is go to Facebook, find the Scuba Radio fan page. There's a link to all this stuff from the scubaradio.com homepage, by the way, so you can go there first if you need to. But if you're in the Facebook frame of mind and you know how it works, just go to the fan page of Scuba Radio, the fan page of Explore Ventures, and the fan page of Divers Alert Network, and like each and every page. And not only will you get one entry to win a spot on that Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, you'll get three. So for each like for the different pages, you can get up to three chances to win that spot October 6th through the 13th in the Turks and Caicos. Now, it's going to be a great trip. I'll be on board. The Scuba Cowboy is going to be on board to provide music. We're going to have a couple of Scuba Radio Mermaids with us as well. We don't leave home without them, as you know. And, of course, we have some folks from Divers Alert Network. Dan and Betty Orr are going to be on board to provide some nighttime seminars and, and information for divers that is always very interesting and entertaining as well. So you get to dive with them. You get to dive with us. We'll do a live broadcast from the deck of the boat of the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 Live Aboard, and we will just have a time that is like no other. I've had so many great memories on the Turks and Caicos itinerary on that particular boat that I can't even it'd take me weeks to get through them all. And I know we're going to make many, many more right there in October. So join us. All right, coming up, we have a dang good diving safety tip, and we check in with the scuba chef. That's next.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 215. No matter how badly you want to impress that hot babe on the dive boat, it's never a good idea to use the boat's propeller to grab a quick shave. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio is Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer at Ford Divers Alert Network. Care for a drink, Nick?
Yes, please. Got any water?
Feeling a little parched from the plane, are you?
Yeah, it's amazing. Even a short flight can make you really feel dried out.
Guess we better get you hydrated before we dive, you think?
Yes, you know. Diving and dehydration are a bad combination.
How about making it our tip today?
Sounds like a good idea.
Where do we start?
Well, the first thing to remember is that sometimes hydration is not necessarily about how much you drink, but rather what you drink.
Quality over quantity.
Exactly.
But doesn't quantity matter?
It does, in that you need to drink on a regular basis, so you replace fluids as they deplete. If you wait until you actually feel thirsty, you've actually gotten to a point where you're a bit dehydrated.
Can you just drink a massive amount of fluid at that point to make up the difference?
You can, because it's good to get the fluids into you. But understand that it won't immediately solve the problem. Both dehydration and rehydration are a cumulative process and take time.
How long?
It can take days on either side. That's why it's better always to drink hydrating fluids on a regular basis, to maintain a constant balance.
What do you consider hydrating fluids?
Well, water is definitely the best way to go. But if you're traveling outside the country or you're in unfamiliar areas, stick to filtered or bottled water.
Come on, water's boring.
Yeah, but it's the best for you. But if you want a little flavor, try a low-glucose, balanced electrolyte sports drink.
What about coffee, tea, and that sort of thing?
Caffeine and alcohol can both contribute to dehydration, so I recommend avoiding them if you can.
Seriously? No coffee? And no beer? I don't think so.
Okay, I know. There's a big difference between a recommendation and reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you have to, or you want to, partake in a caffeinated or adult alcoholic beverage, try to keep it to a minimum. And at the very least, drink water along the way to minimize the dehydrating impact.
Back to water.
It's the good stuff.
I know. Is there anything else?
You can try having a snack with your water.
A snack? What does eating have to do with hydration?
Believe it or not, eating regularly contributes to the balance your body seeks. It's a fairly involved explanation, but the basics are that if you do nothing but drink large amounts of water without ever introducing other nutrients, it can actually create an imbalance over time, just as not drinking enough water can.
It's like anything else in life, isn't it? It's all about the balance.
That's the way of the world. But in the case of hydration, it's one of the easiest balances to achieve. Just feed your body with good choices as a regular practice, and it'll take care of what it needs to maintain the balance.
Nice. Sometimes hydration is not about how much you drink, but what you drink. Make smart hydration choices and make them regularly. Stick to water and low-sugar sports drinks and don't forget to fuel with food. Do that and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Okay, it is time to talk some food. Let's get some meat to these bones here on today's edition of the Big Show. Trevor, the scuba chef, is on Scuba Radio right now. How you doing, Trevor?
Good, Greg. Thank you.
Now, we talked to you a few weeks ago after we met at the Long Beach Dive Show, and you had this booth set up where you're passing out free food and winning over fans very easily with their stomachs, I guess. But you're an avid diver, and you go out and you find these critters underwater, and you cook them up into nice little seafood delicacies. And you just did some diving. What's this I saw on your Facebook page about Catalina Island? Is that where you were recently?
Yeah, Greg, I was in Catalina last Thursday and last Sunday.
Very nice. So what were you finding there? Because I don't know, what can you hunt for in Catalina Island? I haven't been there myself, but what, lobster and that type of stuff or other things?
Well, during season, you can grab lots of lobster. I'm very successful day and night getting lobster in Catalina. Little warmer waters, we get the barracuda, excuse me, and the yellowtail, white sea bass. But Thursday, I actually ran in and got some video of some very large crabs and some very large black sea bass.
Okay, so crabs and sea bass. Let's start with the crabs. Now, are these those big dungeness type looking things, or what kind of crabs are we talking about?
No, these are actually large sheep crab. They look like kind of a light bluish king crab, if you will.
So they look kind of bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that was too easy.
They're very, very feisty. They will charge you and swipe you with their big claws.
Okay, so they're vicious sheep
actually,
crab.
If you go on my Facebook page, Scuba Chef, I have video posted of both the giant black sea bass and the big mean crabs.
Nice. Okay, so when you're underwater and you catch these things, you're looking at them like, hey, go ahead, give me attitude. It'll just make me want to eat you that much more. Is that kind of like what motivates you on some of these recipes you come up with, or what?
Yeah, kind of, for the most part.
So are they hard to catch? Or how do you catch a crab like that, first of all? Do you got to just come up behind it, or what?
Actually, you want to come face-to-face with the crab that size. He's going to put up his claws, and you have basically one chance to get it right, because you have to grab both claws at the exact same time without missing.
Got it. Okay, so that's how you catch these sheep crabs.
Yeah, so if you don't catch them the first time, he'll catch you, and then you'll be sorry.
Interesting. How big are these crabs? I don't know, the diameter of their body. How big are we talking?
The body, I would say, is the size. The one I was videotaping Thursday was about the size of a soccer ball.
Wow.
And if you were to grab his claws, one in each hand, and stretch them out in front of you, they'd be about 5 to 6 feet across.
Holy crab.
That's what
okay.
I'm saying. You got to get him before he gets you, because he will be sorry.
Interesting. All right, so you caught some of those, and the sea bass, I'm assuming that was a spearfishing thing, or what?
Actually, the giant black sea bass are a protected species.
Oh, okay.
So the only thing I got to shoot them with was my video camera.
Oh, okay. But this sheep crab thing, you did catch one or two of these, or no?
I did catch one.
Okay, and so what did you do to turn it into something is menacing and goofy looking into something that we'd actually want to eat?
I actually steamed him off, harvested all the meat, and did crab cakes.
Ah, very nice. All right, So that's with the claw meat and the body meat, or a combination
claw,
of the
leg and body.
So you used the whole shebang.
I did the whole shebang, and I used a bit of sheep's head flesh as well, mixed in with the crab mixture.
Okay. You figure, well, you know, sheep's head, sheep crab, they must go together. That just must be a chef thing.
Good point.
So, I mean, so these crab cakes, are they unique to this particular type of crab? I mean, I don't know. I have no clue when it comes to cooking there, Scuba Chef. So when you say you did crab cakes, so these particular type of crab cakes would taste way different than, like, I don't know, blue crab cakes or something you'd see in New Orleans or what?
Not terribly. I actually had a dive club pose the question to me, Scuba Chef, what can we do with sheep head? And I'm not a big fan of sheep's head.
Yeah.
So I developed this recipe, and it worked out very well. It was delicious, and I'll be presenting it, Friday.
Presenting it to who?
At the dive club social.
Oh, okay, to a dive club social. I was going to say, wait, you're having like a dinner party or something? Well, I guess any dive club session that you go to probably turns into a dinner party kind of thing, doesn't it?
Well, as a matter of fact, Bakersfield Scuba, who met me at the show, they have hired me to come and be their guest speaker and guest chef at their scuba social on Friday. And they are taking me out to the Channel Islands to hunt around Anacapa on Thursday.
Now, are you sure you're being hired to be a speaker or a caterer?
Both.
A little bit of both.
Yeah, because we're going to go out Thursday, and it's a hunting trip, and gathering.
Nice.
And myself and the entire scuba team are going to hunt the Channel Islands, and I'm going to be there to talk about species selection, hunting techniques, and sustainability.
Nice. All right. Well, hold on. Let's take a break, and we'll be back with more with the Scuba Chef next.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. The evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
This is Tim from the Turk and Caicos Explorer 2.
You're plenty of the most girls I've shagged.
Till you have a chance to come and dive with me in the Turk and Caicos.
Mental, that one. I'm telling you.
Keep listening to Scuba Radio, world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Finally something for the radio audience.
I fancy it.
Well, don't we all? I mean, you know, we're going to be in the Turks and Caicos again in October. Who knows, man? We got to get the Scuba Chef on board to help out with Stan, the cook there on the liveaboard. I don't know. He's quite a scuba chef in his own right. But we'll have to see. You do many liveaboard trips there, Trevor, or no?
I do. I do liveaboard trips, local charters, and guest spots on dive boats, liveaboards. I'm catering a yacht on the 15th. I pretty much do everything if it has to do with enjoying food on or near the water.
Nice. And once again, we're talking to the scuba chef, Trevor Cook, and you can go to Facebook.com, Scuba Chef, and connect with him that way, as well as some other projects that he has on deck that we'll get to in just a bit. But these, I want to get back to these crab cakes and what you did with this particular dinner party thing. Is that kind of your typical MO? You're being invited to dive clubs, especially out there in California where you're based, that are having you come over and give some talks on how to catch them, how to prepare them, and serving up these critters that we see underwater that are sustainable, obviously, in a responsible way. Is that kind of what's going on or what, Trevor?
Absolutely. Since the scuba show, I've been keeping busy with scuba clubs and dive shop openings and dive shop or dive club socials. And we have a very relaxed format. We hunt, we gather, and I basically start cooking everything. You know, it's on the fly because you never know what you're going to or not going to catch. But we've been making it work, and it's been a really good time, and it's become very popular.
All right. Now, as a scuba chef, is sushi something that you encourage, or is that like cheating because you don't have to really cook it? I don't know. I mean, is that kind of in your repertoire of seafood delicacies, too, or what?
You know, Greg, it is. I do sashimi aboard boats quite often. I'll bring up live urchin, I'll bring up live scallop, I'll bring up octopus, if we get tuna or yellowtail or a really nice calico bass, I'll actually slice up sashimi right there on the spot and put out a little fresh wasabi root and some soy sauce
and you're good to go.
Try something new.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I got to ask you, how did it start? Were you a diver first or I mean, and you got hungry or what? How did this whole scuba chef thing evolve?
It started when I was about 14 years old snorkeling La Jolla Cove in San Diego. And then one of the young lifeguards that was down there every day as I was introduced me to the spear pole, the Hawaiian sling, and showed me the areas just south of the cove where I could hunt and showed me the tide pools. And I would get black mussels and I would get crabs and I would get lobster and I would get small surf fish off the cove there. And yeah. I'd cook.
And it just evolved over the years. And, I mean, I guess maybe you got some training along the way as well then, right?
I did. I do hold a degree in culinary arts, and I've been in fine dining and hospitality. Oof, gosh, going on 25 years.
Nice. Now, are you kind of like Gordon Ramsay on the dive boat, screaming at the other divers, like, "Hey, come on, catch that! Hurry up!" Yeah, or what? I mean, is it that kind of chaos with you when you're diving, or what?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
You're more California laid back.
Last week, turned down an offer to be on Hell's Kitchen because I felt that Ramsay's attitude and my calm demeanor would probably clash. And I didn't want to hurt the scuba chef image.
Well, there you go. And you're from California. You're probably that California vibe doesn't go well with that, you know, British crazy nonsense that he does, maybe. I don't know. And you know, you have the article. You're writing an article every time with the release of California Diving News, right?
Yes. The newly formatted California Diving News has the scuba chef feature every month. And every month I tell a little story about my adventures, what I caught, how I cooked it. I feature recipes, wine pairings, and then I put a little bit of a fact about the species that I'm talking about.
Very nice.
The limits and stuff like that.
Excellent. Now, so that you got that resource. Also, you're working on a new TV project that doesn't include Gordon Ramsay. Is that right? What's that all about?
That is correct. My editor actually gave me some information on a website called Mahalo.com. And Mahalo.com has been contracted by YouTube to feature three new full-length cooking shows. And I did meet with the casting people, and I am in the running. So if you want to show your support, you can actually go to contact@mahalo.com and tell them you want to see the Scuba Chef host the new cooking shows.
Ooh, that would be nice. Yeah, we need to have our sport represented in that fashion, and I love it. I think what you're doing is great. It's making me hungry, though, and I guess you get that a lot, though. That just comes with the territory when it comes to talking to the Scuba Chef, I'm guessing. Is that right?
Yes. Usually my conversations lead to some sort of meal or mouth-watering.
Yes. Well, it's a good thing. It's a compliment. Take it that way, Trevor. Once again, Facebook.com, Scuba Chef. Go there, connect with Trevor. Mahalo website, contact@mahalo.com. Tell them you want the Scuba Chef on their YouTube channel, TV show. And who knows, maybe we'll be watching you as well as listening to you here on Scuba Radio on future editions. Fair enough?
Fair enough. Would love that.
All right. That'll do it for Hour 1. Hour 2 is on deck. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.